Good afternoon, and welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Delia Benz-King. The Eco News Report is an exclusive feature of KHSU, brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, Eco News. Don't forget, you can find this show and other KHSU public affairs shows on the audio archives page at khsu.org. Today, my guest is Carol Vandermeer, who is the education coordinator for the Trinidad Land Trust and an active volunteer, as well as the former executive director for Friends of the Dunes. We will be talking about the Snapshot CalCoast BioBlitz and lots of other upcoming coastal events for the summer. Thank you for being on the Eco News Report today. Carol Vandermeer,
thanks for having me, Julia.
Yeah, so we thought it's summertime, there's lots of different events going on, lots of different ways to get out into nature and be a citizen scientist even,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this weekend there's a really great opportunity to enjoy the super low tide and join in the Snapshot CalCoast BioBlitz.
Right, we're going to have a Baker Beach BioBlitz on Sunday.
Yeah, so Snapshot CalCoast, let's talk about that for a second. It's kind of bigger than just here in Humboldt. It's happening all across the California coast.
Right, it really gives us a snapshot of the biodiversity, and this snapshot's focused on the marine intertidal areas. And so we could be part of a much bigger project to kind of keep an eye on what's happening in the intertidal environments. How is our diversity of plants, animals, other organisms changing, staying the same? Do we see new trends? There's all kinds of great information that could be gained. And plus, it's a great way for people to connect to coastal environments.
Yeah, it's a little tide pooling with a purpose, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is being put on by the California Academy of Sciences and the Marine Protected Area Collaborative Network. Mm-hmm. So they're shooting for every coastal county to do some kind of BioBlitz during this 2 weeks of June 23rd to July 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to highlight an area near or in a marine protected area per county, kind of.
Right,
too.
Right. And this is locally a collaboration with Friends of the Dunes,
yeah,
and the Trinidad Coastal Land Trust. Trinidad Coastal Land Trust actually owns the property there at Baker Beach and in charge of stewarding that. And so as part of their stewardship, they want to be sure to get people out and understanding in marine environments, and citizen science is an awesome way of really having a very deep, meaningful connection.
Yeah. So let's talk about what is this word BioBlitz, or what does that mean exactly?
Well, bio, of course, is life.
Uh-huh.
So this is looking at all the diversity of life in a short time period. So it's kind of a blitz in that we get a lot of people out at the same time. Generates a lot of excitement, helps generate some important data that can be used by scientists. So it's really both. So BioBlitz is a catchy term that captures that. And BioBlitzes have been happening for a while across the country. And this Snapshot California Coast, we're part of that effort.
Yeah, this is the second year that it's being put on.
Uh-huh.
So the second year that you get this really cool look at the entire coast all at once. And we're generating that data by using an app called iNaturalist.
Right. Last year when we were out in the dunes, it's pretty amazing, these powerful things we hold in our hands, our phones, actually also equip us to be able to gather data. Our cameras taking a photo, being connected to the internet and other citizen scientists who can have input and help identify what species we're seeing. We can access databases with loads of information. And of course, it tells us the location. So it's really perfect for that. I was actually pleasantly surprised the last time when I was able to participate in the BioBlitz. I've often thought, oh, I look at my phone too much and this might be interfere with my enjoyment of nature. But I found it quite the opposite, that this was actually a great example of how to use this tool in a way that is fun, generates excitement, and actually enhances my understanding and ability to enjoy the environment.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely feel guilty of looking at my phone way too often, too. But the good news with this is that instead of using your pictures for Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook or something, it's all going towards science, kind of. And you get a bunch of cool pictures in the process. And by using this app, it's kind of like a social media for scientists, and so you can connect with other people and ask people what you're identifying if you don't know what it is.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because, you know, if you mistakenly post something, there's others out there going, no, I think it's, you know, something else, and they can help verify the data, which makes it more valuable to scientists. And also, you don't have to have a phone and an app, because you could come out on the BioBlitz and pair up with somebody else. And other people who came out last year enjoyed it who weren't really smartphone people, but it really helps if you can download the app ahead of time and we can coach each other a little bit on how to use it and head out to the intertidal.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you don't have a smartphone, you could always just bring a digital camera too and upload on your computer later.
Exactly.
But the app just makes it super quick. It's already there.
Yep.
Yeah. And then afterwards you can go back and look and see what other people have found in that area, or like if there's like a high abundance of something or like nothing of something you thought you would see. It's kind of cool to go back and see.
I mean, it's interesting as, you know, we're seeing changes and climate patterns. How does that affect the different species that we might find in the intertidal? And well, there's all kinds of interesting data that could help inform us and help us work better at conserving our coastal environments.
And this weekend, and that whole kind of time frame of June 23rd through July 2nd, there's a lot of really good low tides. Mm-hmm. So perfect for the intertidal.
Yeah, yeah. And the one on the 25th is a particularly low. I think it goes down to minus 2.2.
Yeah.
And we're going to meet early at the Trinidad Coastal Land Trust office.
Right, at 6:45?
6:45.
Right and early.
Right and early.
But it's already been light for like an hour by then.
Absolutely, right. We'll meet there because the parking's fairly limited, and if you haven't been to Baker Beach, it's kind of a little tough to find where to park. So we'll meet there, get a little quick coaching about the iNaturalist app, and head to the intertidal. Baker Beach is off Scenic Drive, and like I said, there's very limited parking. It's a short but moderately steep trail. People should know that. And there's some cable steps. So it's not for everybody who, you know, finds it a little difficult navigating that. But if that's okay, you know, come equipped with your typical layers that you would wear anytime you go out on our coast, and be able to get maybe your feet wet, boots, whatever, so that you can get way out into the intertidal.
And as part of this Snapshot Cal Coast, they have a list of the most wanted species.
Oh,
did you know that?
I didn't know that. Why don't you tell me more about that?
Yeah, well, we could look at those ahead of time. On their website, it's calacademy.org, and then Citizen Science Snapshot Cal Coast. There are starfish and barnacles, nudibranchs, California spiny lobster, seaweed, and Do you think we might see any of those?
Absolutely. In fact, I was just looking, you brought that up, that website, and one of the nudibranchs that is sort of a rosy color, I think they're interested in, it used to be mostly in Southern California, starting to show up in our northern tide pools. And I think that is of interest to understand how maybe ocean temperature and ocean changes are facilitating migrations and disbursement of certain organisms and maybe limiting others. And that's some of the kinds of information that can be gathered at a BioBlitz.
Definitely. If people are not able to make it to this BioBlitz, what are some other areas you might recommend people heading out to? Maybe some slightly easier accessible
to... You know, one of my favorite places to go tide pooling is up at in Patrick's Point State Park. Palmer's Point is a beautiful place to go. It is steep, but it has better stairs. Mm-hmm. You can navigate stairs, you know, and I'm trying to think. Some of the best intertidal ones are a little hard to get to. Right out in front at Trinidad Head, the harbor there in front of the seascape, there's actually an easy path to get right down there, and you can, if maybe climbing down steep ladders isn't your thing.
Yes.
You can actually see quite a bit just from the beach right there.
Perfect. Yeah. And again, it's going to be really interesting to see what the beaches look like with this super negative low tide.
Yeah. Even the sandy beaches.
Yeah. Yeah. Even Trinidad State Beach. I was there a couple weeks ago and some of the Trinidad school kids were doing some tide pooling, and there's tide pools that I've never seen before.
Oh, yeah, 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 anywhere. And that's another great place, easy access to go to. And you can see some things that you will not have seen before. It's a changing landscape.
Perfect. Well, while we're on the topic of Trinidad, you work for, or you're highly involved with the Trinidad Coastal Land Trust.
Yeah, the Trinidad Coastal Land Trust has been around for a long time, since the 70s. They got a grant from the California State Coastal Conservancy, an Explore the Coast grant, that has funded a new education program. And I'm coordinating the education programs up at Trinidad. There are a whole series of summer hikes. We're collaborating with Friends of the Dunes on school education programs. We're going to work to get some day camps out there, help connect the community to the coast. So in addition to this BioBlitz, the next upcoming walk will be on July 1st from 2 to 4, and it is a Trinidad Head walk, but it's the natural history of Trinidad Head, which really encompasses both cultural history and how people relate to the land. So we'll look at a little bit of the history of the area, the natural history on the head, also the California Coastal National Monument, because Head is now part of that. So
yes.
Ben Moorhead, executive director, will be there and talk more about that. And people who come on that walk will have a chance to go out in the Trinidad Head Lighthouse, which is now managed by the Bureau of Land Management, but we'll have Patty Fleshner, the president of the Trinidad Museum Society, will be there. So that's one example. If you go to the Trinidad Coastal Land Trust website, which is trinidadcoastallandtrust.org, you'll see a whole list of the summer programs and opportunities to volunteer. We've got a new core group of volunteers doing everything from being ambassadors on our guided walks to docents in the lighthouse to helping with another citizen science project, which is monitoring seabirds along the Coastal National Monument and collaborating with the Bureau of Land Management. So there's an awful lot going on up there, and it's real exciting to be involved, and I've enjoyed it a great deal.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's such a rich history up there and just so many beautiful areas to go to.
Yeah.
Am I correct in saying that we have one of the highest, like, concentration of seabirds in that area?
Actually, along the coast, the Trinidad Coastal National Monument ranks third.
Wow.
And I think the Farallon Islands are first. And
Castle Rock?
Thank you. Castle Rock. And Castle Craig's on break. Castle Rock is second, followed by Trinidad. So, yeah, in fact, just this last weekend, as part of our hike series, we had a seabird walk and got to get out there and watch pigeon guillemots and cormorants and, you know, all kinds of seabirds that use those rocks and just cling to the sides. The murres actually nest in huge numbers on those and depend on those rocks. So anyway,
cool. Have you been seeing whales still? Is it a little bit later in the season for whales?
You can actually see whales almost any time. The migration happens at different times, so I haven't seen them personally lately, but there are some that actually hang out around our coast. It's always good to be watching
for sure
for that. So yeah, I haven't seen too many just lately, but it's been really the flowers, the abundance, it's been really beautiful out there.
Mm-hmm. The flowers I've definitely noticed all of a sudden, like overnight.
Yeah, the lilies are in full bloom, and the lilies that grow along our coast are being monitored, and just be sure to take pictures and leave the lilies.
Yeah. Well, it's actually a good point, too, because with the BioBlitz, you're taking pictures of everything.
Right.
It can be flowers, it can be sea stars, anything.
We're going to have on our BioBlitz some folks who are experts, not only on the intertidal, but birds and seabirds.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be there as well, too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, what are some other upcoming summer events that people need to know about?
I'm still very involved with Friends of the Dunes. I'm a volunteer, and there are some great events coming up. In fact, this coming Saturday, June 24th, there is a Dunes Climate Ready walk at Little River for State Beach. And Friends of the Dunes has been one of many partners studying our coast to see how sea level rise and climate change may affect the restoration and evolution of our coast and the dunes. So we're going to try to understand more about that, and that will help inform land managers who are trying to be able to manage for a resilient coastline. And so you can learn more by going out with Michelle Forres, who works for the California State Parks. And that hike is going to happen on Saturday from 10 to 12 and meet at the north parking lot at Clam Beach. And so that's a great program coming up. At friendsofthedunes.org, there's always something going on. And if you want to just go for more of the fun side, I think it's the 22nd annual or 23rd annual Sand Sculpture Festival.
A lot.
It's been going on for many, many years. It's coming up on July 15th. So now's the time to get your team together, think of some ideas for a sculpture.
Get some practice in.
Right. So the Sand Sculpture Festival is always a lot of fun.
And that's out in Manila?
At the Manila Community Center is the trailhead, and head out to the beach from there. So that'll be a lot of fun too.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like people come kind of from far and wide to come check that out.
Depending on the weather, we could have a couple thousand people out there.
And
who doesn't like a good sand sculpture? So
that's a contest involved, right?
Yes, there are prizes and a lot of people just come to be a spectator, but we really encourage a lot of great teams to be out there. And if you go on the Friends of the Dunes website, you can see a gallery of all the pictures from previous years. It's a good way to get some inspiration. And there's a lot of local businesses that help sponsor and support the festival. And so they've got some great sculptures that they send their team to try to compete with the various firms.
Yeah. Awesome. I know some of them get huge. It's really impressive. Yeah. Always fun to check it out.
Takes a lot of digging.
For sure. Well, are there anything else people should know about coming up, or just keep posted on
friendsofthedunes.org and also the Trinidad Coastal Land Trust? I was just going to say there are so many different things going on at each of those. I know, Trinidad Coastal Land Trust is working on multiple projects, including wanting to connect the trail over Little River. That's a longer-term project. They're trying to raise funds to be able to purchase Strawberry Rock and have public access on Strawberry Rock, which should be very exciting. Yes, the trails bit, I think, is another great piece that I love people to be aware of, because connecting to the Hammond Trail and all the trails work going on here in Arcata and Eureka, and eventually we'll have a trail all the way that goes from Arcata to Eureka. That'll be a wonderful way to appreciate the bay and the coast.
And that portion would be part of the California Coastal Trail, I believe, right?
Yes.
One of the little missing links.
Right. It would be one of those missing links. And so there's a lot of work being done right now on the trails, and getting out on the Eureka Waterfront Trail is especially beautiful. People may be familiar with Hickshari, but now you can go even further north up to Del Norte, and the trail will be complete this fall that goes all the way to the boardwalk. So
awesome. Nice. Great news.
So I've been doing a lot of work with the trails, and if you want to follow what's going on with the Humboldt Bay Trail, or maybe get involved as a trail steward, or we've even got a fund to help support the maintenance of this Humboldt Bay Trail, that's at humboldtbaytrail.info. Okay. People can learn more and sign up for updates and find out what the latest.
Great. Awesome. It's always good to hear this good news coming in for local area.
There are a lot of people who, many of us live here because it's such a beautiful place, and the more that we can do to get people out, connecting, active with our coast and caring for it, the better.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks so much for telling us all about all those upcoming things.
Yeah,
I have to make a list, mark it on the calendar. It's filling up. There's lots going on.
Right. There's a lot going on. Just check out those websites, I think, is the best way to kind of keep up to date and informed. And it's TrinidadCoastalLandTrust.org, friendsofthedunes.org, and then the humboldtbaytrail.info.
Okay, perfect. And we can add that all to the website when we podcast this episode.
Thank you.
So, yeah. Well, thanks again, and we'll see you out there in the intertidal this weekend.
Okay.
So there's some new changes to the North Country Fair this year. I'm here with Annie from the North Coast Environmental Center. So can you tell us a little bit about the difference with the All Species Parade this year?
Yeah, so this year the All Species Parade is going to be on Saturday instead of Sunday at the North Country Fair, Saturday, September 16th. It'll be the same day as Coastal Cleanup Day. For Coastal Cleanup Day, it's now available for site captains to sign up online and for people to start getting enrolled and pick a beach out. And you can go out and then come back and do North Country Fair at 1.
And is the fair going to have some kind of theme related to Coastal Cleanup Day since it's on the same day? I mean, it's all species, so it's kind of all related.
Yeah, it's all related. This year, the parade is going to be themed, or the fair is going to be themed Sanctuary for All. And so the parade is Sanctuary for All Species. And so everyone's encouraged to dress up and come out, and we'll have little interactive stuff for you to do during the parade, which will be revealed that day. And we're also doing something a little bit new this year at the North Coast Environmental Center booth, where we're having an endangered art show. So people are encouraged to send in art pieces to the North Coast Environmental Center of a U.S. endangered species, and they will all be displayed on our website and at the North Country Fair that those 2 days. And afterwards, copies of the pieces will be mailed to President Trump.
Ooh, that's super fun. To get ready for the fair, because you want to wear some kind of fun costume, are there going to be some workshops for people to make costumes
there
or masks
will
or anything?
Be. Yeah, keep an eye out in Eco News and on the NEC's Facebook and website for 2 workshops we'll be having probably in late August and early September. And you can come in, we'll have supplies for you to make masks, make costumes, make banners, and you can wear those to the fair.
Awesome. And what about the art? Do you bring the art the day of or submit it before?
Submit the art hopefully by early September to the North Coast Environmental Center. You can mail it to us or bring it into our office. We're on the corner of I and Samoa. And we'll take anything fairly small in size or like a regular sheet of paper or a small statue or kind of whatever media you want to use and drop it off, and we'll have it displayed at the North Country Fair that weekend.
That is such a cool idea. And then you're going to mail them to President Trump.
Copies of the art. And artists can have their art returned to them. Or if they don't want it returned to them, they can donate it and have it go to the silent auction, which will help pay for the mailings and everything.
Oh, very cool. Is there going to be some kind of message that goes with the art?
Yes, there will. So all artists can choose to include a note talking about why that's their favorite endangered species or why it's important to keep the Endangered Species Act alive and strong. Or they can just write about that species and what it does and why it's cool.
Very cool. Let's go back to Coastal Cleanup Day really quick. You mentioned that site captains can start signing up right now. Can you explain a little bit what a site captain is?
Yeah, so the site captain is in charge to take out their team to the beach of their choosing. And you can sign up on our website. You're given a t-shirt and supplies to help pick up the waste that day. And then you go out and lead your team and report to the NEC on how much you picked up at the end of that day with our data cards.
Perfect, right, because Coastal Cleanup Day, the cool thing about it is that we're recording everything that is picked up that day. It's a little bit more in-depth than your average cleanup.
It's very detailed. Every site captain has their site data sheet, and it says how much of every... There's always top 10 hits for most trash dropped off, like Ziploc bags and cigarette butts, and we're able to record how much of each of those individual pieces of trash are picked up, as well as the total amount of pounds picked up on each beach. So it's really detailed and some really cool citizen science projects that we're actually using to make some maps of the waste that have been picked up over the last few years at Coastal Cleanup Day.
Oh, awesome. And if you want to be a site captain, you don't have to have some kind of like business or organization to go behind. It could just be like you and a few friends.
Yeah, it can be you and your friends, or if you do have a business, you can go out with them, but it can just be whoever you want to go out with. If you're just somebody who really likes going to the beach in the morning and picking up trash, you can go out with your friends and just have a good morning.
Yeah, and it's a little bit ahead of from now, but it's good to keep it in mind, mark your calendar, mm-hmm. and it's helpful for us at the North Coast Environmental Center to keep track of what beaches are kind of taken.
Mm-hmm. That are being adopted and everything for that day, and you can also just participate in Coastal Cleanup Month, which is kind of something they're doing this year, where you can go out kind of any particular day, or schools don't have to go out on that Saturday, they can go out a different day. If you are a teacher or have a class you want to go out with, you can go out whenever you want. We just focus it all on Coastal Cleanup Day.
Right, don't a lot of schools go like that Friday before?
Yeah, they go Friday before the Monday after or something.
Okay. And you can even kind of clean up like your school yard, mm-hmm. even if it's not exactly at the beach, because everything ends up all over and going to the beach anyways sometimes.
Exactly. So you can pick up anything, pick any spot in your watershed. So if you live near Jacoby Creek, you can do that. It doesn't have to be a beach. It's all connected to the same watershed.
Perfect. So a lot of things going on that weekend.
A lot is going on that weekend. So you guys should all come out and check it out. It's going to be really, really fun.
Yeah. So mark your calendars. So that's Saturday, September 16th. Mm-hmm. Okay. And get to the beach early, do your cleanup, and then head to the fair mm-hmm. with your costume.
Head to the parade at 1 p.m.
Yes. Awesome. Well, if people want to find more information and sign up and everything, what is the best way to contact you?
For Coastal Cleanup Day, go to our website under Coastal Programs. And if you want to participate in the fair parade, you can just come out at 12:30 in the Tri-Counties Bank parking lot. And if you want to donate art, just give us a call or check out our website, our Facebook.
Perfect. And we'll probably be posting updates as we get closer to the date.
We'll be posting a lot of updates on our Facebook, so keep updated on that and on our website, and always in Eco News, of course.
Perfect. All right, well, thanks, Annie.
You're welcome.
And yeah, we'll stay tuned.
This has been the Eco News Report. My name is Delia Benz-King, and I've been your host for the past half hour. Today, my guest was Carol Vandermeer, who is the Education Coordinator for the Trinidad Land Trust, as well as an active volunteer and former Executive Director for Friends of the Dunes. And we were talking about the Snapshot Cal Coast Bio Blitz, as well as some other upcoming coastal events for the summer. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the public affairs page on the KHSU website at khsu.org, where these programs are archived after they air. Previous shows are posted on the North Coast Environmental Center's website at yournec.org. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call KHSU's listener comment line at 826-6089. The Eco News Report is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University, in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Many thanks to Fred McLaughlin for engineering. Join us again for the next Eco News Report. Mm-hmm.